You're listening to the Wondrous Podcast, and on today's episode, I am joined with my good friend, Stephanie Thornton of the 10th House, and we sit down to discuss the huge topic of human design. If you are new to the world of human design, it is a massive topic. If you've never heard of it, I highly encourage you to pause the episode right now and see if you can look yours up. What you'll need is your date of birth, your time of birth, and your location of birth. If you can go online, you can find free resources to figure out what your chart is. One of the ones that we like to use is www.myhumandesign.com/get-your-chart. Or you can just Google My Human Design with Jenna Zoe. It's a really good resource. It's the one that we like to reference often. If you've been curious about human design, if you've been trying to figure out how to read your chart, what it all means, I think you're really going to like this episode. We get into how you can implement it into your parenting, into your relationships, and into your business practices, and just life in general. So thank you so much for being here and enjoy the episode. I want to introduce you all to my friend Steph. She is an incredibly talented, holistic brand and website designer, and she's actually just launched her own rebrand of her own business, which is called the 10th House, which I'm sure she's going to get into. But she has this knack for creating websites and brands that truly feel like the person. And I think a really big part of this is within her methods of really uncovering who the business owner truly is and then peeling back these layers to reflect it back to them, what their uniqueness is, and then inject that into their website and branding. Steph also happens to be my own personal authority on all things human design. And while she doesn't consider herself to be an expert on the topic, I'm sure she's probably going to mention this, she knows a whole lot more than I do on the topic and how it pertains to the way in which we run our businesses, make decisions, nurture our relationships, and honestly just navigate life. So welcome, my friend. I had never actually heard of human design before you came into my life, so it feels fitting that you're here on this episode. I remember one of our earliest conversations where we were like chatting in a text or something, text conversation, and you said something like, "You must be a manifesting generator." And I was like, "Pardon? Excuse me? Like, what?" So this could become a very huge conversation, and I imagine we're going to have to break this up into multiple episodes. So I want to just slowly like dip our toes into this. So my first question is, first of all, hi, and how did you first discover human design?
Hi, thank you for having me on the show, giving me a space to talk about this, because as you know, I tend to weave it into all conversations whenever I can. I don't have to feel bad because like this is what this conversation is for. I don't have to feel bad about taking over with human design language.
Not at all.
Well, I've always been the type of person to be interested in different systems of awareness, different ways to understand myself and the people around me. So like even since I was, I think, 8 or 9 years old in the Buckhorn Public Library, I would be going through astrology books and things like that. I didn't find human design back then. I found human design about probably like 6 or 7 years ago, just by listening to a podcast where there was a guest talking about human design. And truthfully, which I think a lot of people might have this experience with it, I was really intrigued. It involves astrology, so I was super into it. And when I first looked at the chart and started to kind of look into it, it just was really overwhelming, and it seemed like very kind of like technical. And like, I mean, it is referred to as the science of differentiation. So it seemed scientific. It was very overwhelming, the chart. There was a lot to it. And I just kind of got a little bit overwhelmed and just like left it and walked away from it for a little while. But it was always kind of in the back of my head. And I don't know, I think maybe a couple months later, I had more time and space in my life. So I got back into it and I haven't gone back. I ordered the official textbook from Jovian Archive, like from the founder, so that I could learn kind of from the horse's mouth. Because that's the other thing too, when you go online to look at human design, there's a, nowadays it's gotten quite popular. So there's a lot of different practitioners, a lot of different people. People are using their own language, which is all beautiful. But I wanted something that was like, I wanted to start at the beginning. I wanted to learn step by step because that's part of my personality as well. It's like, I want to know step by step, each step of the way, and learn from the source. So yeah, that was probably, it's a long answer to the short answer, which is like 6 years ago I got into it.
Yeah. Okay. So for those who are, you know, like we need to kind of catch people up to speed here. For those who have no idea what it is, like kind of where I was a few years ago, what, on a very basic level, can you explain what human design is? Because I think a lot of people hear, you know, the sciencey stuff, and then they hear, you know, the references to astrology, and then they're like, but wait, how does that work? So,
what is it actually?
Yeah, like what yeah, is so it?
Yeah, so I mean, at this point, I feel like a lot of people are really familiar with astrology. So basically, human design, it's a synthesis of Western astrology, but also the Chinese I Ching. And those are the two kind of major components that come together to create this system of understanding, a system of a way of talking about and understanding ourselves, how our own energy works, and also the people in our lives, how their energy works. It is you get a chart that's generated similar to what you do with astrology. You can go online to a couple different websites and enter in your time, place, and date of birth. And with that information, it then generates this, what's called like a body graph, or there's also like the I Ching ring around it, the mandala. So, but a bit, basically you get this blueprint or chart that you can look at, and there's various components to this chart. There's energy centers, there's channels and lines connecting the energy centers, there's arrows, there's a bunch of different places you can look. And each one of these places tells you about how you were, how each person is specifically, uniquely designed to operate in the world, just based on their energetics. So it's not a personality test. Mm-hmm. It's more of, yeah, like a blueprint of your energy.
And so like when you hear blanket statements like, you know, think on it, sleep on it, or things like that, like when you hear these blanket statements of advice, it's almost like those actually aren't as helpful within the realm of human design, because everyone has their own methods. Or like, is that kind of the idea? Is that like the way that we've all been operating is based on this structure of, you know, okay, like, go, everyone says things like, go with your gut, use your intuition, sleep on it. Like we have all these systems or ways of making decisions and navigating the world. But what you're saying is that within human design, there's actually like a specific way that each of us are meant to operate and function. Is that kind of the vibe?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think what happens, like you're saying, is there's lots of people, and with the internet, right? Like everyone can share what they've learned and what they've experienced. And a lot of people kind of come on and say like, this is the way. And it's the way that has worked for them, mm-hmm. which is great for them to share that. But the idea with human design is that you're looking at and experimenting with how to operate how you were specifically designed. So if someone's sharing their advice of, you know, we'll bring it back to business, because I use this a lot in my business and with branding and marketing for myself and also with my clients. You know, there's the general advice of like, you know, like bro marketing, like you need to go out and hustle, you need to be knocking on doors and cold calling people and DMing people and like reaching out, you need to like make shit happen. Mm-hmm. And that might work for certain people. Like, for example, the first thing you kind of look at it in a human design chart is the energy type, and with that is the strategy that comes along with that energy type. And so that type of advice may have come from and may be good for, say, a manifestor energy type. And the language of human design is a bit tricky, because it's not to say if you're, so the energy types are, there's a manifestor, there's a generator. Most of the population would be a generator energy type. It's like 70%. Of the population, about 10% of the population are manifestors. And then I think projectors are like, what, like 2%, 6%, something like that. And then there's reflectors that are like 1% of the population. And this all has to do with in your human design chart, the energy centers that are either defined or undefined or open, and how, what channels are connecting them. So going back to your point, yeah, like maybe a manifestor energy type, that might be a good advice for them. And maybe the people who even gave that advice in the first place, maybe they are manifestors and they are, and that has worked really well for them. But for someone like you, Jen, as a projector, or even myself, as I'm a generator type, a manifesting generator, but we'll just stick to the base type of generator. For us, we have a different approach where we're not really meant to like push out onto people. We're like, for you as a projector, your strategy is to wait for the invitation. Mm-hmm. It's to do what you love and to get really good at it and to practice and to hone your skills. And yes, to show up online and show up in the world, and so that people know what you're into and what you're doing. They have to know that you're a photographer. They have to know that you offer mentoring. They have mm-hmm. to know that you have a podcast. But after that, it's not kind of in, it's not correct with your aura, with your energy to push out onto people. Your strategy as a projector is to wait for the invitation, to be open to being invited, to share what you see and to share, you know. And so, yeah, there's advice. So if you give that advice to somebody, that may or may not be correct for them. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's kind of how it goes there.
And it's really, I don't know, there's something really calming or permission giving or just healing in knowing that, you know, education is not one size fits all, and lessons in general are not one size fits all. And so I used to really struggle with that, where I felt like I wasn't doing enough. I wasn't putting out enough energy. I wasn't knocking on all the doors, as you're saying, right? With the sort of like typical marketing strategies. And I remember for me, like when I found out what my energy type was, you know, all of these things, which we'll get into, I remember just feeling a sense of relief, because I was like, oh yeah, that makes so much sense. Like I don't enjoy doing that. I feel extremely depleted when I do that. And when I kind of get more into alignment with what my design is, my type is, it feels so much better. And that was a huge transformation for me. Like even just through becoming friends with you, you teaching me this, it's really been healing. And so I want to kind of jump into that a little bit, as to how has it impacted your life? Like what were you doing before? What did your life look like before? And how does it look now in terms of how you're operating, how you're running your business, how you're maybe marketing, just in general?
Yeah, I think that's probably the reason why I love human design and astrology and mm-hmm. different, you know, systems of awareness and understanding, is because, like you said, it's just affirming, and it's basically just like reinforcing what we already know to be true. And the thing is, it's all kind of an experiment, right? So there's a difference, I think, between putting yourself out there and being a little bit uncomfortable and like pushing an edge. Like maybe I'm a little bit shy and I don't want to share my voice. And maybe that has to do with, you know, different traumas or experiences in our lives. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's something that can be worked through, and something that you know, you can be a little bit brave and kind of push yourself to speak and to show up and to reach out or whatever it may be. I think there's a major difference between that and then like forcing yourself to be a certain type of energy that you just really aren't. Like if you're not the type of energy type and it truly doesn't feel good, and that's where the kind of nuance comes in. It's like, does this not feel good because it's just new or scary, or does it truly not feel good because this is just not who I am? Mm-hmm. And that's where the practice comes in, and where the experimentation comes in. So you can use human design and look at your chart and see recommendations or, you know, strategies of a way to be, and then you start applying them in your life. So that's just what I did. I started looking at it, at my chart, and I was like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. This is really reassuring. This is affirming mm-hmm. to what I already know to be true. and also, maybe I'll experiment with this thing and see how it feels. Like, the whole point of human design as well is to give you a way, strategies, methods of living your authentic self. A lot of times we're living from conditioning, from society, from upbringing, from whatever it may be. And human design brings us back to a way of getting back to living our authentic self, living our true self. And when we're doing that, there's kind of signatures or like telltale signs that we are living in alignment with our authentic self. And each energy type kind of has their own kind of key word that human design gives. And when I heard my key word as a generator, which is satisfaction, I was like, yes, like that's the word. And Jen, like for you as a projector, your word would be success. And that's not to say that I, as a generator, am not going to feel success, or success, feeling successful is not important to me. It certainly is. It's just like at my core, for me, satisfaction, that's the word. That's what felt right to me. And so, and then like for a manifester, their word would be peace. So again, like they'll still be, they can still want success and want to feel successful. They can, you know, want to feel satisfaction and that feels good for them. But like, I would bet that a lot of manifestors would really resonate with the word peace. And then for reflectors, if there are any reflectors listening, or if you have a reflector in your life, their word is surprise. So it's just hearing these things, and sometimes these words just kind of resonate on a deeper level. And so if you're living your life, if you take your human design, look at all these areas, apply the strategies, and live this way and conduct yourself this way in the world, you can get to the point where you're more aligned, you're more living more authentically, and you're getting that feeling of peace or that feeling of success. And things just tend to flow more. It's like you're, there's just like so many different aspects. Like for me as a sacral being, you don't have this gen, but generators. So like probably 70% of the people listening to this are going to be generator or manifesting generators. So that means we have a defined sacral center. It's one of the shapes down near the bottom of the body graph. And that's an energy center. And it is, when it's on, I always use this analogy with you. It's like a car motor. It's like the car motor is running. So if somebody asks me something, generators do really well with yes or no questions. So if you say, hey, Steph, do you want to do this podcast on human design? Immediately my sacral was like, my car engine started going. I was like, yes, like I feel the energy, my body even like peps up. I'm like, yes, like I can, I'll talk about human design all day long. So that was a clear answer for me. So I was following in that point. I was following my authority, which is another area of human design. You can look at it as well. It's like first look at your energy type. Then you look at the strategy that goes along with that energy type. So maybe I should, have I laid that out?
Yeah, let's walk through. No, I think this is great. Let's kind of walk through the chart. Basically from like, if someone is just on a website right now, and there is a link to a website that you can grab your chart in the show notes, but grab your chart and just walk us through from kind of top down, what are we looking at and what are we kind of reading? What are the key points that we should be focusing on within the chart? How does one read a human design chart? Because it's a lot. Like the first time I saw it, I was like, what am I looking at?
Yeah, totally. And like I said, I felt the same too. So yeah, and that's one thing that I really like doing is like taking big concepts. Like I went to school for philosophy. I like taking these big kind of abstract concepts and then digesting them into like step-by-steps and like structures and frameworks to help people then learn it and use it as well. So when you get your human design chart, the first thing is, like I said, your energy type. So there's a generator energy type, and then there's kind of like a subtype of that, which is manifesting generator. And like I said, the kind of larger majority of the population will be a generator type. Each energy type is determined by the definition that you'll see their shapes in the chart. These are energy centers. And if they're colored in, filled in, then that means they're defined. And so if you're if you have a defined sacral, which is the second shape from the bottom, mm-hmm. that automatically means you're a generator energy type, because you have that sacral definition.
So what is the difference between the defined and undefined? Just if someone's looking at theirs right now, like if something is colored in versus not colored in, if someone knows nothing about this, what does defined mean and what does undefined or open mean?
In general, when a center is defined, you have consistent access to that energy. It's like always there for you. If it's not colored in, meaning it's either the two terms are open or undefined, just depending on if there's any of the gates, like any of the lines are defined in leading to that center. So if it's not colored in, then that means you don't have consistent access to the energy of that center. It means you are open. And the idea is that you're kind of here, your design is to experience the energy of people around you and that your environment around you through that center. You can think of it as like, if you have a cup and it's empty, you can fill that cup with all the energy. Or if you think of like a screen door, it's like things can come through, things can permeate. And that's not to say that at your defined centers, if they're colored in, you can still definitely be affected by the energy around you. And you can be conditioned in that center as well. And I've even heard the concept of like, if you do have conditioning in a defined center, that it's like more sticky, it's like more dense, it's like it gets stuck more. Whereas if you have an open center, the whole point is that you're kind of tasting and experiencing life through that center. You're so, Jen, for you, and actually I have this too, say your emotional center, which is the emotional solar plexus, which is, if you're looking at the chart, it's to the right, it's the triangle, kind of bottom right. And if that's open or undefined, not colored in, then you're going to be taking in and amplifying. Any open center takes in and amplifies the energy from around them. Mm-hmm. So if we're in a room with somebody who has defined in that area, or someone who's undefined and they're just like, you know, really upset. Like, I have two kids and we all have undefined emotional centers. When we're all together, we are just bouncing off each other. Our energy, we're like taking energy in through that open emotional center and amplifying it, and then doing it back and forth to each other. My partner comes in, he's defined in that area. If he is, you know, feeling in a good kind of stable emotional state, which he usually is, he can come in and the energy of the room immediately we take from him, because he's the one defined in that area. And me and the kids, we kind of like go to his emotional state. Mm-hmm. And so you can use this strategically, actually, with your partnerships, with businesses, co-working spaces, especially if you have those open centers. You can partner with or go to work in a space with someone who has the defined center. And it's like you're then going to be taking, through your open centers, you're going to be taking in energy from their defined centers. So you can use that strategically. And sometimes we do, right? And in our work dates and our other friend as well. And so we're in our definition in our chart is giving to the openness in the other charts. So yeah, like each one of those centers means something. And if it's defined, you have more consistent access to that. And it's kind of like you're not as much feeling and depending on and taking that energy from other people.
So how does this relate then? Because a lot of what you're saying reminds me of the idea of empathy and being an empath. Like, how does that tie in any way? Because it sounds very much like, you know, you're absorbing other people's energy in a sense. Is that kind of tied together somehow?
Yeah, I feel like that language kind of goes together. Human design doesn't say that specifically. It's not really, it's not said specifically in human design as far as what I've read, but it's a similar concept. But I still think, like, you know, I just don't want any listeners to think, oh, because I'm not open in that center, I'm not empathetic.
Right.
I think empathy is something that can be actually learned, mm-hmm. and it can be practiced and developed. But yes, I would say that open centers, if you have a lot of open centers, you're just going to be taking in a lot more from around you. And to the point where, like I said, it can be, you know, a challenging thing because you're maybe feeling a lot, and it can be also a great thing that you can do is you're using other people's energy and your environment around you to yeah. kind of help you do what you want to do. But for the open centers, it's really important at the end of the day, you want to return to that center being open. So if you've had a very social day where you've been taking in energy from other people through any of the areas, like it can be like the head center right at the very top mm-hmm. of the chart, you're taking in ideas like it's with so being on social media. And I know you just launched this social media course, and I haven't gone through all the modules, so I don't know specifically if there's anything as far as like mental health and like mental emotional hygiene when it comes to using social media. Maybe that's something for the future. Mm-hmm. But the idea of that, if you have that open head center, you're taking in ideas and thoughts, and also feeling it's another pressure center. You might be feeling the pressure to solve other people's problems because you're just open in that area. Whereas if you're defined in that area, you might not have that tendency to feel like you need to solve other people's problems. And you might just have more of like kind of a more fixed way, or like you're getting your ideas and your inspiration more so from yourself rather than taking in from outside sources. Mm-hmm. And not one's not better than the other. It's just understanding that might be a thing for you and how to work with it. So at the end of the day, like giving yourself that space from taking in other people's problems or ideas or whatever, if it's your emotional center, like at the end of the day, taking that bath or,
yeah,
you know, going for that walk or touching the earth or whatever you need to do to release those emotions. So at the end of the day, you end up empty in the places you're meant to be empty in.
Okay. This is reminding me of a conversation we had a while back where I showed you this Facebook group, and it was people would post photos of certain rooms in their house or parts of their home, and they would ask for advice on what they should do with the room. And I was like, Steph, look at this. This is such a cool account. Like, people post and they ask questions about what they should do with their rooms. And initially, I hadn't gone fully into it. I hadn't immersed myself into it yet. I just kind of saw it was like, this is really cool. And everyone's sharing their ideas and their input. And your response to that, I can't remember exactly what you said, but something about like my open head center wouldn't like that or something like that. Because
I think it was like, I can't handle that right now.
Yeah.
My open head center. I would just try to solve other people's problems.
Exactly. And so interestingly enough, I heard you say that, and I'm, again, like, I am not as much of a pro in human design, and I don't apply it to my life as much as I should, as much as you do. But I heard it, I didn't take the advice, and I just, you know, immersed myself into this Facebook group, and I started giving my input and my advice about what people should do. And then I'd be laying in bed at night, and I'd be like thinking about these people and their houses, these strangers that I don't know, and they're like, how high up they should hang their artwork in their living room. And I was laying in bed one night, and I was like, oh my God, that's what Steph meant. That's what she meant, because I also have an open head center. So I was like, okay, I need to just leave this Facebook group. But it also brings up another point about that I've heard many times about projectors, and I imagine it would apply to other energy types, but something about how as a projector, I'm not meant to be sleeping in a bed with someone. Like, I should be recharging in my own space at night. Is this, have you heard this? Is this a thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I told you that.
Oh, of course you did. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing is, and I think I might have mentioned it before, which is it all has to do with like our definition in our chart, our defined energy centers determines our energy type, and our type is expressed through our aura. Mm. So an aura, I'm pretty sure it's like well documented by science by now, mm-hmm. that like we have this electromagnetic field that can be felt by other people, things, whatever around us. And it's referred to as your aura. And in human design, they say that the human aura extends like two arms lengths out from our bodies. And so, and even when you're sleeping, you're taking in energy from other people. So if you're sleeping with a generator, with a defined sacral,
which I do,
because here's the thing, then you might not have as much of a restful sleep as you would sleeping by yourself. This is true for manifestors and also reflectors as well. So they all have that and that undefined sacral. So the sacral energy is a big thing. When you might notice, like when you're around sacral beings, like we have this energy, like we have energy to use, like we are meant to work and produce and do things, and we have energy to use. And the thing when you're undefined in the sacral is that there's so many people are like I said, a lot of the population does have definition in the sacral. So you'll actually be using that. And remember what I said, you take it in your open centers, but open centers also amplify it out. Mm-hmm. So going back to the beginning, when I originally met you, I thought, oh, maybe she's a manifesting generator because she gets so much shit done. She does so much. And she's kind of like in her hands are in a million pots. Like manifesting generators are kind of like stereotypically known for needing variety in their life and doing multiple things and kind of like moving quickly from thing to thing. And that again goes back to another thing you said, which that's another way that I have felt kind of affirmed with human design is like, okay, that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing that I go hard on something and then move on. Like we can become shamed by society for doing that. And obviously, you know, do it in a respectful way of the people around you so that you're not letting people down or leaving people in the lurch. But if, you know, if it's not hurting anybody else, who cares if you don't do the same job for 20 years? Mm-hmm. Or who cares if you go on to a new hobby next week? Like, if it's not hurting anybody else, like, just accept that that's you and you don't have to be shamed for that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's, I feel like I've touched on a lot of points just in this one sentence, but yeah, sleeping at nighttime, definitely. It can be nice to have that just clearing and so that you're not taking it in. Oh, that's what I was going to say. It's that you, the energy you take in from a sacral being, someone with sacral definition, you're going to then amplify that. So projectors and manifestors and reflectors can be really susceptible to burnout in that way because you are doing and using that borrowed energy from sacral beings to achieve a lot and to get a lot done. And you actually can even seem like you have even more workforce energy because you're amplifying that energy you're taking it in. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you're meant to, a lot of recommendations for non-sacral beings are to like to take naps and take baths and schedule in rest to your day and to your week. And all of, so if you're not doing those things and you're just kind of running on borrowed energy, like that's not sustainable. And the whole thing is to be sustainable and work with your energy.
Yeah. And like going back to what you just said about how it's so permission giving to kind of find out that, oh, I'm not meant to operate like other people, or what you said about jumping from job to job and having different interests and just that validation in there. I definitely felt that as a projector. So referencing yesterday, I just do this big Instagram course launch and I had two baths yesterday because energetically I really needed to. Yeah. I had one at noon and I had one at 4 p.m. and I just like I just needed it. Like energetically, I needed to rest and I hadn't really done anything. I was just at my computer, but energetically, I was kind of giving out a lot. And yeah, I needed that recharge and that refuel. And I used to feel a lot of shame around that, around the idea that my energy would be depleted so quickly. And now I have such an understanding of it through obviously my friendship with you. And it brings me to this other kind of point about how you have been so good at taking the time to understand all of your friends through their human design. And I think it's such a gift to your friends, but also just to the way that you navigate your relationships. Like, it's just such a beautiful way. And there's been so many times where you'll use it in your friendships and you'll say something to me like, I'm going to give you space to talk it out because that's my, what is it? My authority type, mental projector, right?
So yeah, your authority.
Yeah. So maybe we can kind of like lightly talk on that and just how you can kind of bring it into your friendships, but also with your kids, like understanding what your kids' needs are, because every child is different. And I have just learned that my youngest is a manifester. And I texted you the other day about this. It was like, so Isla's a manifester and I'm losing my mind. Like, how do I deal with this child? So yeah, just, I don't know, just in general, I threw a lot at you there, but how has this impacted the way that you navigate your friendships or just even with your children, your relationships romantically, like all of it? How is this helping? How can we bring it into our lives in this way?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think it's just a general concept of realizing that we're all different. We all have different needs. We all have different ways of expressing, and we have different energy and different, we're just in this world differently, yeah. And uniquely. And I think that's kind of like the crux of any of the work that I do right now. I am, as a manifesting generator, like right now, the last couple of years, I've been focused on brand and website design. And even with that, each client is different. And I do have like a framework, a step-by-step process that I go through. But built into that process is room for doing things a little bit differently if I identify that a client's energy needs that. So for example, with the authorities, I think we're going to do a whole maybe specific podcast on Absolutely. Authorities, but that would be the next thing after energy type, which then goes with strategy. After looking at your strategy, I would then look at the authority. So the authority, your authority type is like how you're basically designed to make decisions and work things out to make choices that are correct and aligned with your authentic self. So yeah, each energy type has an authority that goes with it. And yeah, we'll go into that in another podcast, but going back to what you said, knowing the people around you, knowing your coworkers, knowing your clients, knowing your romantic partners, your friends and your children, having an idea of their design, it's just makes strategic sense, because then the general advice is like treat others the way that you want to be treated, but you can go to the next level, which is maybe treat them how they need to be treated. Mm-hmm. So for example, my youngest is also a manifester, and with a manifester energy type, their strategy is to inform. And manifester energy types, again, this isn't like a personality thing. It's just like their aura. Like they're very independent. They don't like projectors. Like you are very, like you have almost this like, just like a pull to experience other people's energy. Mm. You have a lot of openness in your chart and you want to experience other people's energy. Manifestors, their aura is, like I was saying before, their aura is more, they say it's closed and it's more like, it kind of like pushes out. A generator energy aura is open. It's like inviting. Mm. It's like, invite me, ask me, like, and a projector is kind of, is like the same. It's like, we're open for other people to come into. Whereas manifestor energy type, their aura is kind of like push out, and they have initiating energy. So they're the ones that can actually get away with like, or, you know, it might feel more correct for them to, when they feel like, hey, they identify, hey, I want to, that person can help me do what I want to do. They'll go out to them and like say, like, do you want to do this? And then it's up to the other person to say yes or no. So with manifestors, that energy can kind of like rub people the wrong way. And also the thing is with manifestors, they'll have like surges of energy. They'll have periods where they need to rest and just kind of chill out and not do anything. But then when they get into like a surge, they kind of have like surges of energy, which we can all relate to, I think, and it can be explained from different areas of the chart as well. But in general, a manifestor will just, they'll just get it in their head that they're going to do something. They're here to innovate. They're here to do things differently. They're not here to follow rules. They are like the kind of the pioneer, the rebel, the whatever, and they're not really naturally concerned with other people. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, not a personality thing. They're not jerks. They're just, They're just here to do their thing. So as a child who hasn't learned social niceties, you know, they're just going to do what they do. And so it's up to us as parents to then teach them how their strategy, which is to inform. Hey, I'm going to do this. Can I? And also ask. They're not going to want to ask, but if you can at least get them to verbalize what they do want and what they're trying to do, so that it just makes everything easier for everyone else. And also when they want to stop doing something, that needs to be verbalized as well. So the whole strategy is just like to inform. And that's kind of tricky for kids to learn in the beginning.
100%. And it actually reminds me of your youngest and what we experienced the other day when I was at your house. And all of a sudden we were looking around and we're like, where is he? And the front door was open and he had just decided on his own. How old is he?
He's 5 and a half. But he's been doing this since he was little.
Yeah, but he just decided he was just going to go outside and play.
I think he went outside to shovel snow. Like, he just was like, this is what I'm doing.
But that's what you mean by inform, right? It's like, you gotta, like, you almost have to teach. And Isla is the same way. She's 3. And I was reading the other night that a 3-year-old toddler manifester is like the extreme unfiltered version of a manifester. Like, if you have a manifester toddler, that is like the most unfiltered version of it. You're like unhinged, unfiltered version of it that you're going to experience. And I've been reading all of these strategies on how to parent a manifestor child. And one of the things, yes, is to teach them to inform, like you're saying. And I love knowing this now. It feels so good to just have this. But also little things like cleaning up. Typically with my other kids, I'd be like, okay, when you finish this task, let's clean it up and then we'll move on to the next task, right? Like, she'll be playing with a board game and then she'll want to switch to something else. And she'll be so like laser focused on that next task. And so one of the things that I read was that maybe instead of me forcing her to stop in her tracks and be like, no, you have to clean this up first, is let her go on to the next thing. But then at the very end of playtime, have a giant cleanup. And that was just one of the little things that I read that I was like, okay, that would make sense for her. So it's just so cool how we can learn these things. And, you know, whether you buy into, you know, human design, astrology, any of these things, it's just this lovely way of understanding people on a deeper level. Just even when we look at things like love languages and all of that, some people are like, oh, that's silly. but it's like, it's not. Like, it just shows that you have this need to want to understand someone on a deeper level and understand how to work with them and how to raise them or how to connect with them. And I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And this human design just offers like basically different options and experiments. You can start with what your chart says, but even if you don't want to use your chart, like I say this in the free guidebook that I have for authority types, is like, if you don't even want to pull up your chart, you could actually just try each one of the authorities and see what actually feels best for you. You could do it that way.
Yeah.
The whole idea is breaking out of this idea that there's like one right way to do things. And you know, when things are mass produced, mass sold, and you have a culture and a society that, you know, all they want is for the worker bees to do and to run and make everything run smoothly, you know, it's definitely more efficient to have one way of doing things and just to like teach everyone to do it that one way, like have a school system that teaches everyone to do things the same way, like clean up after each activity or not have a nap in the middle of the day when you're not in junior kindergarten. Like, you know, as an adult, I mean, being this is another reason why I love being an entrepreneur, having my own business, is it's a whole new opportunity to live authentically, because I don't have to be in the structure of, say, an office or like you can have a bath in the middle of the day. And I don't know if that's available at an office. Maybe a really cool one, but you know, so it's like, it's not super convenient for society as a whole, the way that it's currently structured. So now it's up to us to find within our capabilities, whatever's available to us, find different ways to live authentically and give ourselves what we need. And it's like, break out of that rigidity of having to do things one set way. Like, you know, why can't we just do one big cleanup at the end of the day? Why can't we have a bath in the middle of the day? Why can't I multitask and not feel guilty about it? Like, mm-hmm. all of these different things is just about accepting who we are and also acknowledging other people for their individuality and mm-hmm. like working with it rather than trying to cram everybody into boxes or a box.
And I love how you use the word authenticity or authentically. You use that word, and that's such a common buzzword and, you know,
yeah,
keyword that gets,
I almost don't want to use it anymore, but it's like,
you used
it's
it
such an accurate word.
Absolutely. And I think you used it in the way that I think it should be used. I think people say, you know, live authentic or be your authentic self, but no one really dives into what that means. And within the scope of human design, it just means that you're in alignment, right? So you're whatever that word mm-hmm. is for you. So for me, it's success. For you, it's satisfaction. For Isla, it would be peace. So it's just that you're aligned and you're, you know, feeling that you're acknowledging your own energetics and that is the authenticity. Like, I love that. It's so simple. It's great.
Yeah. It's just like living in a way that works with just how you naturally are. And I've always been fascinated with that whole nature versus nurture mm-hmm. conversation. And ever since I was quite young, and I just really at this point in my life believe that a lot of it is nature.
Absolutely.
And then we get nurtured on top of that. And the nurturing, it can be like the beautiful sense of the word. It can be like nurturing, like you're actually nurturing mm-hmm. and encouraging how someone is uniquely designed.
Yep.
Or it can take the form of conditioning that gets put on top, which is then to change those inconvenient aspects. Like, so the manifestor child who just does what they want to do, and, you know, it takes a bit more effort to maybe teach them to learn how to inform and communicate rather than just to, like, because the thing with manifestors as well is, so we all have like a not self kind of keyword as well,
which is when you're out of alignment. Is that kind of what that means?
Yeah. Okay. So if you're doing something that's not, if you're like doing something or you're in a situation or whatever circumstances are not in alignment with your authentic, how you are authentic, like how you are uniquely designed. So for a manifestor, it would show up as anger. Mm. And for a projector, I think
bitterness
is bitterness. Yes, thank you.
I got you.
For a generator, it's frustration. And again, when I heard that keyword, for me, that was like, I was like, mm-hmm, that's what it is. So there's these feelings that come up, and it's kind of like a little flag that comes up. Yep. And it's like, oh, look at this, because if you're frustrated right now, like, what about this situation is not aligned? Maybe mm-hmm. it's just, you know, we all have to go through some frustration and some anger in our lives. But, you know, if anger is a constant theme in your life and you're a manifestor, like, maybe look at how you could structure your life in big and in small ways to, mm-hmm. to kind of allow you to be living more authentically. The thing with manifestors as well is they can, like, it can be anger as if, you know, probably what most people think of as anger, like outbursts and, you know, that type of thing, mm-hmm. which is probably what a toddler is going to do.
Yeah.
But if that toddler from society, from parenting, whatever, from school is, you know, if that anger is suppressed without processing the feelings behind the anger or the source of the anger, it can actually turn into like people pleasing mm. and like fawning, like a fawn response. And I've seen this with some people in my life as well. And so to the point where, like, I didn't even realize they were a manifestor. And when I learned they're a manifestor, I was like, oh, so interesting, because there's been so much conditioning onto this person that I didn't even really like recognize them as a manifestor. So that's a thing to kind of watch out for as well. If we go long enough without honoring how we need to live our lives, and if the conditioning is strong enough, it can really just throw us right off course, and we probably won't be as successful. We probably won't have that sense of peace. We probably won't you know, we'll just feel angry and frustrated or whatever it is. So yeah, I think that's human design is a kind of, again, it just kind of sheds light and gives like a language and a strategy and like some sort of something to try.
Absolutely. And I think ultimately too, it gives us, like you said, like the language, but the language that we can use to almost teach others about ourselves and vouch for ourselves, say it's in partnership mm-hmm. or whatever. It's like, okay, these are my needs. And if I don't feel this, I will feel a sense of bitterness, or I will feel a sense of, you know, blank, whatever it is for your mm-hmm. specific type. So it's just such a wonderful tool to be able to understand yourself deeper, be able to communicate that with your friends, your family, your whoever, and to understand those people in your life. And then you're using it on top of all of that, you're using it for your business. And it's just, that's so cool to me. It's just so cool that, you know, however many years ago, 30 years ago, this was discovered by someone or created or, you know, channeled or whatever they're saying, however it came to be. And now it's just this tool that we can all use. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And there's actually like a whole, I don't know what to call it, like a section or a different kind of like version of human design called BG5. And it's specifically for business. It's really like when I look at my astrology as well, it makes a lot of sense, which is why I call my business the 10th house. Like I've got like a million planets in the 10th house. My sun, I'm a Capricorn, like my 10th house is ruled by Capricorn. So for me, expressing myself through career and vocation, that type of thing, and helping other people do the same is just like kind of, I've just accepted it's like what I'm here to do. So like basically anything, any tool, any psychology, any system that I learn about, I immediately just apply it to business and apply it to like career and expressing myself that way. So yeah, human design immediately when I first learned about it, because you can use human design in a lot of different ways. Like you said, some people specialize using it for parenting and mm-hmm. some people specialize in using it for romantic relationships. But for me, it's like, it immediately just felt so useful for business. And I'm just so interested in that aspect of life. So yeah, it's a whole, and BG5 is basically the same. It just uses some different language for different things. But wow. It's really cool. We can use it just basically, the whole concept is like learning about ourselves, what we need, how we operate. So for our own kind of like success and well-being in the world, mm-hmm. and also how to get along with other people effectively, efficiently. And we're all here on this planet together, interacting in various ways. So mm-hmm. it's really useful for that as well.
That's incredible. So, I mean, before we kind of part ways, I do want to say that we are going to do a follow-up episode on authority types. And there might even be a third follow-up episode because there's just so much to dive into.
Which is like, oh,
so much. Yeah. But
if you start with your energy type, yep. and the strategy that comes with that, that's like a huge, you could spend years just on that. And it all really comes back to that. The other stuff is like getting into some details, but yeah, if you start with that, that's a good start.
That's so wonderful. Thank you so much for just sharing all of your knowledge. I feel like it's been several months that I've been like, okay, Steph, we need to do a human design episode. Like I need to just pick your brain a little bit and introduce my audience. Like for anyone who hasn't heard this, I just think it's so cool. And it's just such a wonderful way of getting to know ourselves on a deeper level. But I just want to give you the opportunity to share a little bit about your new business launch, the rebrand, maybe how human design played into that in any way, and where people can find you on social.
Well, thank you for that. I feel like I've kind of been hinting at it along the way. Like at one point a couple of years ago, I was actually doing consulting sessions, like one-to-one consulting sessions using human design, specifically relating to business, entrepreneurship, that kind of thing. I was doing like written reports for people and stuff like that. I haven't been doing so much of that lately, although this morning I kind of got a little bit of a urge that might become a thing again. So maybe if enough people are interested in, they can inquire with me. My Instagram, I've got at the dot 10th.house, which is my brand and website design studio. That one's a newer account where I just share, I'm sharing mostly specific to my brand and website designs, kind of like more like a portfolio and the offerings that I offer through the studio. But my longer standing Instagram account is Stephanie__ Thornton, T-H-O-R-N-T-O-N. I don't know. You're going to have to link it in the show notes.
It'll be linked. It'll be linked.
It'll
for
probably
sure.
pop up.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so I may or may not be, if there's enough interest, doing one-to-one consultations again. But just in general, I just use human design, like I said, as a tool with everything that I do with my branding, because my branding process is, like I'm saying, it's not just like one size fits all. Mm-hmm. It's not, I have a specific style, like what I like from my own stuff, and a specific aesthetic that I prefer in my life. But when I work with clients, it's all about getting to know them and having them get to know themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of it. Like I have the Brand Clarity Workshop, which people can do independently. And really the inspiration behind that was having a tool that people could use before they even start working with a designer, or before they even start, you know, putting pen to paper or putting cursor to Canva, that they could just get really clear on basically who they are, what they want their life to look like, and then designing a brand that helps them, that works with that and helps them achieve their version of success that they have defined for themselves. And then it gets into the actual specifics of actually creating that brand, like all the visuals, like translating the energy of themselves and their business into digital form, in the form of like colors and fonts and logos and that type of thing. So it basically starts like kind of abstract and more energetic, and then it gets into the really tangible. So it's very holistic. It's very thorough. It walks you step by step through that whole process of creating a brand that really expresses and radiates and allows people to feel who they are, if it's a personal brand and or the kind of spirit or essence behind their business. So yeah, all my work is kind of along the same concept of just like embracing people's uniqueness, helping them express that uniqueness in the form of branding and websites.
Thank you so much. It's such a gift. Like what you're offering to people is such a gift. And I feel like more web designers, more brand creators, more business coaches in general should be taking this on. And because ultimately you're helping other people discover themselves on a deeper level, and then you're applying that to your work. And it's so beautiful. And I love what you're doing. So thank you so much. I'm super excited to get you back on another episode where we'll dive into authority types and probably many other different elements. But thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really fun to talk about this stuff.
If you are interested in purchasing the Brand Clarity Workshop or any of Steph's other beautiful offerings, she has graciously offered 15% off of her entire site. So use code WONDERIST15 on her website, which is linked in the show notes. And thank you so much for listening.